Item 28, Low Impact Development Pilot Project. Donette Dunaway?
Donette Dunaway will be making a recommendation here. Pretty close to it.
You could. I can. I can talk to the very last slide. Depending on how comfortable the board is with understanding.
Oh, darn. There you go.
Even though it's an outstanding presentation.
Thank you.
What I'd like.
Although I run the risk, certainly, of not being able to, you know, tell you all the benefits.
What specifically would be encouraged in this annexed or sphere of influence area? This is for Salinas, right?
No.
Okay.
This is for a pilot project.
Well, I
perfect
know, but
question.
Then why
perfect
is Salinas
question
mentioned here?
I did. We, our primary goal is to have a low impact development project in our region. That is our number one primary goal. As to where it occurs, that is not as important to us as the success of having a project in our region. What we're looking for is a location that could implement low-impact development that would be ideal, that we could hold up, that other municipalities in our region could come and see, come and talk to the planners and the engineers and so on that had worked on this project, find out that low-impact development is doable in our region with our soils and our hydrology and everything else, so that we could hopefully have that kind of ripple out across the whole region. And in the what we're requesting funding be spent on, in part, is bringing in experts that could help whatever city is identified as being the recipient of this pilot project, bringing in experts that could help them, that city, look at their ordinances and design standards and rework those if they are contrary to low-impact development concepts. So that, if we can do that, we will see that if the ordinances and design standards have changed in that city, then every project that comes after that will then necessarily have low-impact development concepts incorporated into them. So we're looking for laying a foundation in one area that will ripple out through that area and also then spread out across the region because it's an example that has been doable and feasible and would have the expertise that is accessible by people in our community in our area. So whether it is Salinas or not is at this moment inconsequential, essentially. Salinas was identified as a potential recipient because they have development that's coming down the pike and therefore might be a good candidate for that. But there's a lot of factors to consider, including how receptive the development community is and the city themselves at working with this new concept. Whenever we have a new kind of concept, we have to kind of get over the hurdle of we do it this way and we've always done it this way and it works this way. So we know we have to get past that. So maybe Salinas or maybe not. Should I give my talk or not?
I have a question. What are some of the criteria you're looking for in the city?
A receptive attitude, number one.
Well, don't go to Monterey County.
I don't know. There's two formats that we could go at. One would be to have new development so that we'd be starting at this, you know, the beginning point and building a low-impact development development of any type. It could be residential, it could be commercial, from the ground up. So you'd start and that would be ideal. That would be ideal because not only are we looking at the structures that would be put in, but we also have to think about everything from the grading, the way that grading is done, so we don't have compaction in areas that we don't want compaction, for example. So we could go with new development, or you could go with retrofit, which is what we've seen, for example, up in Seattle. And these are the people in Seattle that we want to bring down and have them speak from the standpoint of what was it like from the municipality standpoint to have low-impact development in their community. So we could go either direction. And I think that's why there's other factors such as the just how receptive a city is and the engineers and the developers to working through this new concept and this new idea. They're going to have to retool. They're going to have to relearn a new way of doing things. And that takes an open mind and a willingness.
And now this, the money that you're asking for, is that going to the project once you've identified the city?
No.
Or is part of it going to helping you identify the city?
I see. No, we would like to lay the groundwork on identifying the city outside of the realm of doing the workshop and spending the money. So if you're looking at the staff report table, the first row, we Water Board staff would like to go to a city first and kind of on our own dime, on our own time, talk with the city, talk with the developers, talk with all those who would be involved, and see what the reception is. Once we've identified that we have a receptive city, then we would like to go ahead and schedule this workshop, which would be the next row down. At this workshop, the people that we're directing this towards would be the city engineers, the city planners, the city managers, developers, and public at large, probably. They would be the ones who would be listening to the workshop. The ones who are presenting at the workshop would be the City of Seattle. So we have the municipality that's presenting their views and their what they've learned and so on. We'd bring in engineers, hopefully, that are LID savvy and have that expertise to answer engineering questions. We'd also look at working, hopefully, with a public relations firm who can help us deliver a message that will reach a whole audience and not just think like engineers and geologists, but think a little bit larger and be able to answer questions that a larger community would have. So we'd put all that together, and that's where the money would start being spent, is in pulling that together. Okay. And then the third row down is trying to look at, in the staff report I did focus on Salinas, but I'd like to say that that's not certainly the only area that we could look at, but we'd look at helping provide funding for a design or a redesign of a development, again, because there's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be time and money that needs to be invested in changing the way things are done. And then on the next page, we are asking for funding for, again, a public relations campaign, because we're recognizing the fact that here we are scientists. We tend to see things from one view of the scientist view and water quality view, but certainly when we have development, we've got a whole lot of other interests and a whole lot of other questions that we should be aware of and we should be able to answer and foresee in order to hopefully have a very successful project. So this may be a little bit of an unusual tact for us. However, we believe it's really important because we really want to address all the questions and concerns to make this go, to make it successful. And then the next row down, we're looking at, again, some funding to help a city rewrite their guiding documents, and that would allow LID to be incorporated into all the next projects that come afterwards in that city. So it would ensure some life that this would continue on and on. So all of that added up together, if we had the maximum amount, comes up to $225,000. And then after we kind of lay that foundation, that's when we would like to go into the next phase and actually get something on the ground built. But first, we feel like it's really, really important to lay a good, solid foundation to make sure that we have buy-in from all of the parties and that we're going to have something that's going to carry on later on because we have those guiding documents that would be changed so that we'll have, you know, these new projects coming in. So that's what you see there. I've broken everything out and kind of tried to give you little pieces if you wanted to consider different amounts. However, we are hoping that LID, low impact development, really is a concept that's embraced because it seems to be the smartest way to have a water quality protection in perpetuity. Because what we're doing is we are changing the way that stormwater is handled. Instead of looking at it as a villain that we have to get rid of as fast as possible into the creeks, and it carries all these pollutants down and it down cuts our creeks, we want to change this concept and say, let's use the water. Let's infiltrate it on site. Let's use it for plants. Let's let it recharge the groundwater. Let's let the soils and the plants remove the pollutants and slow the water down so we don't have this downcutting and we don't have all these pollutants that are going into the creeks. And that's what low-impact development action does, is change that whole function so that you start using water as nature intended it, essentially. So we see this as being such a smart way of addressing so many problems that we're now facing as we develop a community. We'd like to see it be successful. And we are so concerned that it be successful, we're hoping that we have addressed all these elements to lay this nice foundation, real solid. We don't want to go at it halfway and then cross our fingers and say, gosh, I hope that's good enough. You know, we couldn't really fund everything we think we probably should, because if it fails, then it'll become this, oh, low-impact development. I heard about that a few years ago. It didn't work, you know, and it'll kind of fly out the door, and that'll be the end of that. We hope that doesn't happen. We hope that doesn't happen. So we're trying to lay a really, really, really strong foundation and then build from there. And that's why you're seeing some of these. Let's see, how did that gentleman say it? I am publicly speculating on large amounts that something along those lines. And along that line, I would like to say I did not put out a scope of work or anything along those lines. So these costs are estimated based on conversations that I've had with engineers and with some city planners, but they are rough. They are rough. So there is an element of question, I guess, in some of the costs here. But that's why you see what's there.
Okay.
That's why
you see a couple questions for you. So this is more like the pre-phase.
Yeah, well,
pre-construction phase.
Pre-construction.
Pre-development phase.
It is.
Pre-development phase.
It is.
So how much of this investment can be used in other parts of our region?
Well, used.
I mean, does this develop a program that you can kind of pick up and
lift
you've done
and,
in city
and take
A,
over here?
You go to city or county B. And
well, you could in if ordinances and design standards are transferable, then yes, you could take from A and give it to B and say, we do this here, you can do that there. That's done all the time, you know, across the country. What the benefit here, we do have LID standards that we could take from other places, but a lot of times they're in the East Coast, and people just, it's hard to embrace something that's so far away. Whereas if we have something that's in our region, and I can call up the person who wrote this and talk to them, and see what's really happening, it transfers so much easier.
But I guess my point is some of this money is used for staff time.
Yes.
To do workshops and things
yes.
like that and work with the first entity.
Yes, yes.
And so that's invested in that entity.
And along those lines, I've already talked with the City of Seattle, who would be our leading speaker, about videotaping their portion. They have no problem with that. So we would have something that we could take to another community and show to them. So they would get the benefit of listening to the conversations and the questions and so on.
Good.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Just a couple of comments. And we did have three Salinas staff people here, but they had to leave because right. the headlights didn't work on their vehicle.
Right.
Budget cuts.
Budget cuts. I couldn't afford to fix the lights. They are in their infant stage of this development, and I mentioned this several meetings back when we talked about waste stormwater discharge permits and talked about monitoring on Santa Rita Creek and because of the large development. Well, this is the development I was talking about that right. I knew was just basically going through LAFCO for analysis and approval. It's a good. It's a very, very large project. It's going to be a city within a city.
15,000 dwelling units.
Anywhere from 15 to 18,000. That's what I'm hearing. Numbers I've seen. But also that, and I, not because I live in Salinas, I'm supporting this, but I think it's a large development. And if we could make this work in that area, it would surely help up and down our region because, if, as you pointed out, it would be a shining example. But as you also mentioned, that this particular area they're talking about developing is the east side of the valley, which is has a very dramatic shortage of water in that particular area because of the pressure areas. And with this type of development, that we'd have more recharge than just running it off and dumping it out into the Pacific Ocean. So I would encourage that we approve this, whether Salinas is the recipient or not, but I think it's a great opportunity for this board, as we did with the ag waivers, to be the first ones to step up to the plate and say this can be done. And I think just the general conversation with the planners that were here, I think they're very, very interested. But I think where the hard part is going to be the selling developers. They resist and change.
That's our job.
Well, it's going to be the city's program development group that would have to change them and say, this is the way it's going to be. And, of course, the city council is going to have to support them to do that. But I think in the long run, it's an area that it's extremely important to this region. As I said, it's a very, very large development. This development is going to be larger than the city of Gonzales, the city of Soledad, the city of Greenfield. So you're talking about a humongous project.
And would these design standards be for the entire development?
Be is for the entire city.
The entire annex or the sphere of influence area we're talking about?
Sure.
All 15,000, 18,000?
Yeah,
okay.
Because
I noticed that this is mentioned that it's an area near Barondo Road, and I wasn't sure whether we were just speaking of a section or the entire. Okay.
We would like to see changes, wholesale changes in the design standards, which would apply to the entire city. The trick will be the timing. We may find if we have a development that's going in quickly that we'll have to do some exception to the current design standards and then at the same time have design standards being changed. So it'll be a balance like that, but what we are aiming for is a wholesale change across the city.
Do we need any basin plan help with this? our own basin plan, in other words, that we have certain standards for new development.
Right.
In terms of water retention or infiltration on site or things of that nature that would help sell this down the line?
I'm sure we could think of something that would help out. What we have currently is our Phase 1 permit, which in Salinas is another reason why Salinas was chosen as a potential recipient, because they have requirements that they've got to meet, and they've got to figure out how to meet them, and this is one very good way to meet those. We can't tell them exactly that they have to do this, but they're going to have a trick if they don't incorporate low-impact development in figuring out how to meet some of their requirements. They are also required to look at their design standards and their ordinances and make sure that those are consistent with the permit as well, and they need to do that by February of 2006. So there's a couple of reasons why we think that they may be receptive to working with us on this.
Okay. Any board questions? Mr. Shalfross?
Yeah, a couple questions and an observation. If you find a city that's interested in doing this and you start down this path, you don't have any, there's no way we can lock them into changing their design standards. So they may come up to, you may get down a ways, actually may get down all the way to review and rewrite design standards and ordinances, and the city may, under some sort of political pressure, say, just not have the will to
right.
do that. Say it's
right.
too expensive.
Right.
And so I'm a little concerned. My main concern is that you identify the city that you're going to probably have the most likely success with, rather than go for a project that you want to impact. Because
yes.
I tell you, this big project would be perfect for that. Unfortunately, I mean, it's already out there,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
these folks are going to fight it tooth and nail. I think, you know, I would hate to see the whole thing fail because one big project that we went after, it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think you really need to focus on what city is going to, you know, be a good fit for this. A city that's either doing a lot of retrofitting or is going to do some development, and that has a city council. I think you're going to have to look closely at the city
mm-hmm.
councils, do some political, you know, homework, and find out, you know, who in the city council, you know, might be interested in this. There's some city councils I would say don't even bother with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but others, you know, there's people on it who are interested in thinking along these lines. So I would be very careful on going for a particular project, especially one that's already out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because these developers already know what the rules are in that city, and they're going to be really resistant, and the city's going to be resistant in changing it for this particular development,
yeah.
one that's already somewhere in the works. So having said that...
Well, that Gary, that's kind of why I mentioned the basin plan, whether there's anything we need to put into effect which
that
gives everybody notice.
Well, and maybe that's something we can do in the PM.
That it's coming down the line across the board.
I agree with that. I think that's something we need to look
yeah.
at. I think this is a great idea. Whose idea was it? You know, give them $50.
Give these two right
this
here.
This is really clever.
I really
you
am.
Know, I think it's really... Really
yeah.
great. And, you know, if we could get a good project out of this,
yeah.
it would just go so far into saying, oh, yes, here's where it works.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's all people need to start then really seriously looking
right.
at it.
Yeah,
but I think identifying the right city, you're going to have to put a lot of time and effort into it.
Well, which is why we have put in this section where we're asking for funding for the public relations campaign and the stakeholders as well to
yes.
try and help us get the right mindset and go the right direction to work the angles that need to be worked to get, you know, the education out there. A lot of it just has to do with education of what is low impact development, why should I do it, what's it going to cost me in the end. And once we start answering those questions from the standpoint of the people who are listening and look at it from their angle, I think that we'll find that they're going to be more receptive, because there's so many benefits with low impact development from so many standpoints, even from, you know, from the city's maintenance standpoint, for example.
So we
just need to hit those.
So you're going to be inviting several cities to come to workshops?
That is a concept that we've had, is maybe have one workshop, invite many cities, invite as many players as might be out there, and then see if somebody steps up to the plate and says, gosh, you know, $250,000 doesn't sound like a half bad idea. We've got development. Why not? Never
because
know.
The PR campaign, that's after, once you've already identified the city, right? Or not?
No. Why?
Well, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Well, my thought process is there's a lot of behind the scenes getting ready before you get to the workshop section. We don't want to host a workshop in a city that decides later on, not interested, thanks. We're going to have to set the stage before that and make sure that we've got an audience that's at least going to open their ears and listen. And the more people that are in that audience, the better chances we are having of finding a good match.
So the money is, or at least part of it, is for identifying the city. I mean, educating people and identifying
yes,
the city.
Yes.
Pre-identifying
yes.
the city money.
There yeah.
is some
yeah.
of that.
But we're going to... Our idea is not to wait until that workshop
to We're doing that now.
No, I'm just trying to figure out when you're putting the money.
Yeah.
And don't only include cities. I mean, the MS4s include... counties
yes.
and certain population
yes,
areas.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So
right, right.
It's kind of a big list.
Well,
right.
The other one you might want to think about is Rancho San Juan in, mm-hmm. in Monterey County, which is off of Russell Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a fairly good size development,
yeah.
which is proceeding.
Yeah. Well, and our other angle that we were considering was going straight to some of the larger developers, present this idea to, or include them, I guess I should say, present the idea, include them as well, because they're the ones who have the projects. They come to the city, say, I'd like to do this. If we can get them to say, I want to do this, then that helps us.
Well, I think the packaging is going to have a lot to do with, you know, getting buyers.
Yes.
There was something I saw in the news not too long ago about a new development in the Sacramento area where all of the power consumption in this tract of homes was state-of-the-art with photovoltaic panels on roofs and very efficient use of materials. And the selling point was, you know, the low monthly, you know, electric bills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just how environmentally friendly everything was and not generating greenhouse gases and things.
Right.
So, you know, an analogous approach, I think, is what you're
yes.
doing here, trying
yes.
to solicit that part of
right.
people's
which will
psyche.
Come, I envision that portion of it will come a little bit later down the line when we're trying to understand what's important to the public.
Right.
The people who will be consumers of this.
Right.
So if you understand what's important to them, then you gear it towards them. Do they want a walking community? Do they want, you know, lovely landscaping? We'll aim. We'll aim for that. We can do it.
Oh, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Everybody seems to be on board, so does this need a vote?
Yes.
It does, because they want to spend money.
I'd like to use this opportunity to recommend that we, the staff, the funding for this project. You know, and that's my last official motion.
I'll second Don's motion.
Okay, so it's...
And also it brings us closer to closure.
It's a good thing.
Of this item or the music?
Both.
Yeah. Both. Okay, so agenda item number 28, the motion is to accept staff's recommendation.
For
we
full
have
funding.
A second for full okay. funding.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed?
No.
Good. The motion carries.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just want to say that the work that Donette has done on this is above and beyond the call of duty, and she's really done an outstanding job on this, put a tremendous amount of effort into it, and Jennifer Bidding has helped her a lot. I just want to acknowledge that. That's really outstanding work.
Thank you very much. Yeah. We look forward to good reports on
yes.
your progress.
Oh, yes.
Good. And really look forward to Jennifer's return with
yeah.
an infusion of ideas. Come back already, Jennifer, will you?